think they always come up for their pictures.
Good evening. We'd like to call our meeting to order this evening. We're thrilled to have all of these young people and parents joining us tonight. You bring new energy into our chambers, and we welcome you. So glad that you could join us. We'll begin tonight with Mr. Standish calling roll.
Mayor Winfield.
Present.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Here.
Councilmember Jones Ivy.
Here.
Councilmember Nicholson.
Here.
Councilmember Pena.
Here.
Councilmember Rodman.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
I also wanted to welcome our new chief, Chief Riley. This is her first official town council meeting. So. So with that, please join us for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, it's always good when we have the Pledge of Allegiance, but there was something magical hearing those children's voices tonight joining us. So thank you. Mr. Standish, upcoming meetings?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Water Utility Commission will be meeting on March 9th at 5 p.m. here in the council chambers. Then the next town council, a regular session, followed by a study session, will be on March 18th at 6 p.m. here in the council chambers. The Budget and Finance Commission will be holding a work session on March 12th at 4 p.m. in the Kachina Conference Room. And then the Budget and Finance Commission will be holding a special session on March 16th at 4 p.m. here in the Council Chambers. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Standish. No, Council Member Jones-Ivy has a council report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to make a plea for CDO's project graduation. They desperately need volunteers. Starting Friday, May 15th through Saturday, May 23rd, and that will be the week of project graduation. They need 352 volunteers, and they only have 80. So there are flyers in the back. I'm going to encourage you, please take one for yourself and your neighbor. Any time that you can give them, it's well worth it. This is our 17th year for project graduation, and we've not lost one teen. So this cannot happen without community help and support. If you're not able to volunteer, they do need donations. This is a 100% community-dependent, donation-driven event. So again, if you can't volunteer, please go to the website cdo.pgvolunteers@gmail.com. The other thing I wanted to mention to you is that there's going to be a day of remembrance at Mod Pizza. And CDO is also going to benefit from this. All the proceeds that's brought at all seven locations, 20% of that will go to Project Grad. Also, it's an opportunity for you to help commemorate the life of Jeffrey Velas. He was a young man that graduated from CDO that lost his life walking home due to an impaired driver. So again, the flyer's in the back. I'm pleading. They need our help. Let's support our teens and make their graduation night safe. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any additional council reports? Okay. Ms. Jacobs?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of council, as you know, we are busy doing some construction work at Naranja Park as we make some drainage improvements and prepare for a new playground structure. We are going to be doing some chip sealing this week as the temperatures have warmed up. I'm going to ask our Public Works Director, Paul Kiesler, to just explain what's going to happen for our community so that we can keep everyone safe.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor and Council. We are taking advantage, as Ms. Jacobs just mentioned, of the window of over seasonally high temperatures, and we're going to be spending today tomorrow and Friday on two passes of a double shot chip seal. I do want to make a note to the public that this is for dust abatement for our construction that's going on. This is not the permanent alignment of Musette over by Tangerine Terrace. That is ultimately going to be realigned to the west when we do open that up finally. But in order to help make everything better for the neighborhood, for just dust abatement in general, the chip seal will go ahead and flatten everything out, and we will continue to finish off the park and the construction, and then the gate will be closed again once we realign traffic and traffic comes back from the north or from the south.
That's all I have this evening. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. The agenda will remain as posted. I have one speaker card for our call to audience. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, mayor and council are not allowed to discuss, respond to, or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. At the conclusion of call to audience, council members may direct town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. Mr. Dave Perry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, staff, and public. I appreciate the opportunity to speak this evening. My name is Dave Perry. I'm the president and CEO of the Greater Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce, and I've been a proud resident of Oro Valley for 12 years now. Young people, I'm going to take 3 minutes of your time, and I'm going to be really boring, so I apologize for that in advance. To be fully transparent, our chamber has a $40,000 annual operating agreement with the town of Oro Valley for services performed on its behalf. My comments tonight are certainly not among those services. You are in receipt of a letter dated March 1 from our chamber, the Metropolitan Pima Alliance, and the Tucson Metro Chamber expressing our shared concern with proposed increases for retail and commercial impact fees as were presented to you in February. Several of you acknowledged that evening that a suggested 48% increase in retail and commercial fees might be more than you're comfortable with. And I'm here tonight to agree with you on that. Impact fees are way out of my league. They are so far out of my wheelhouse, it's not even funny. And I want to give full credit to MPA, the Metro Chamber, the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association, the Arizona Multi-Housing Association, and others for their expertise, for their experience, and for their attention. Again today, I waded through the consultant's analysis, and that is most certainly a very heavy read, rife with complication and complexity, beyond my comprehension. Here's what I do comprehend. As a guy who promotes doing business in Oro Valley, I would suggest that a 48% increase in retail and commercial impact fees would not be a selling point. This community and its government have done much over the last 10 years to make Oro Valley more business friendly. A 48% increase would send the wrong message. I might take some objection to the assumptions within the consultant's report, particularly regarding the share of added traffic generated by retail and commercial uses within our community. However, I suspect that that conversation is moot. Instead, it falls upon you as decision makers to set appropriate fees for all kinds of development. I believe Town Manager Mary Jacobs when she said last time, quote, "We are not trying to disincentivize retail in our community." I trust that that's the sentiment of all of us in this room tonight. We recognize that impact fees are going to go up for non-residential uses. Respectfully, our request is that any increases for non-residential uses not push us far beyond the fees asked by our neighboring communities. We further request that impact fees not become a reason for retail and commercial businesses to locate somewhere else. Pardon my time. Mr. Mayor, our community is on the front edge of a remarkable future. Reasonable development fees would help us to achieve great things together. We'd be pleased to engage further with you on this subject. Thank you for your time and for your service.
Thank you. And this item is on a future agenda, town council agenda. We'll go to presentations. Mr. Standish, first presentation.
Presentation of youth art by the Arts and Culture Ambassadors.
Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. It's lovely to see you on this beautiful, almost spring day. And I must say, your hair looks marvelous. I just loved it. Anyway, Gail and I are here to present the monthly student youth art. And it's so interesting. I get nervous sometimes. I apparently get nervous when lots of kids are in the room. I'm so glad that you all came. I'm just so happy to hear your voices and see yourselves, and I hope that you understand how wonderful your art making is and how much you're giving to the world when you express yourself through making art. So, I would like to present our art for this month to you all. I'm going to ask you to look to the east side of the room, the east end of the wall. We are looking at Innovation Academy. What a wonderful school. Melissa Samsel is a facilitator beyond measure. She is always ready to give us art. She's already ready to make art with the children. And this year, they have made their art unit a cultural travelogue. They all, from kinder through fifth grade, got passports. They have been studying different countries, different cultures, and the art that you see before you represents some of those different locations, some of the different issues connected with those locations. Of course, the kinders had to celebrate March with rainbows. And then we moved down to beautiful Vincent van Gogh-inspired flowers. We come down to South America where we're studying special animals, cheetahs, llamas. I never knew how to say that word until I watched The Desert Speaks. Llamas. Then we've gone to Japan with some kimono burritos. I mean, kimonos. They look so cute. Anyway, and then the children studied Australia and the issues with climate, the wildfires, the koalas. And I am absolutely enchanted with the class that went to Germany and studied Edward Munch's Scream and did their own versions. There are some very authentic screams happening up there. We've gone to France, we've gone again to South America, we've gone to Antarctica to study the whales, and then finally, inspired by Laurel Birch, a North American artist, the cats are charming us at the base of that exhibit. Now, moving over to this middle, this is so interesting, and I hope you're all going to learn something new. Pledge Academy for Education and Excellence, led by the art facilitator teacher Pam Boone, studied the Razzle Dazzle, they're calling this the Razzle Dazzle project. Back in World War II, the Allied troops had an idea that if they decorated, camouflaged their weaponry, their ships, their planes, their tanks, the German U-boats would not be able to see them. So they studied this optical illusion that was created. In truth, this happened during the war. It was not a long-lasting project because it was a little difficult and probably not very financially sound. But the children learned about this and then created their own very interesting high-contrast graphic designs there. Bill Lewis, who is the teacher at Immaculate Heart High School, had given us some selected works from his students. We have some of them in the audience, including a ballerina who drew a ballerina, and some other things. There's some beautiful studies of hands, which I know from firsthand experience, pun intended, are very difficult to create and manifest on paper. We're going back to Quest Academy. Quest Academy for Excellence in Education is a very interesting agency. They are a support school for those families that wish to homeschool their children. So they supply those extras that maybe a parent isn't able to give, sciences, sports, arts. So Ginger Sewell is working with our youngest students in that group, and she has created a very colorful array of creations here. We are looking at Georgia O'Keeffe-inspired flowers, and then the kids were learning how to work with watercolor, which is a very difficult medium, and also working on weaving. So I hope you enjoy the springtime extravaganza.
And we do.
We would like all of you beautiful children to stand up, and the teachers along with them to stand up, so that we may celebrate you.
Councilmember Rodman.
Well, add my thanks to that of the mayors, and it's amazing what they do. But I couldn't resist. Sasha Case, who was presented that for us, is late to rehearsal as she speaks. So you better get there. My wife, who was instrumental in starting the Oro Valley Theater Company, has her second or third night of rehearsal for Oro Valley Theater Company's next show, Barefoot in the Park, at Gaslight Music Hall, Oro Valley. You can find it on their website. And Sasha's one of the major leads in it for the second time in Oro Valley Theater Company. So thank you, Sasha. And all of you, it's also for families. So enjoy. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilmember Rodman. So children and parents, you have our permission to either remain with us, or you can also make an exit to your homes. But
Good job.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you. Thanks.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, my.
Hey. Yeah, good. How are you doing? Yeah, he's doing good. Yeah, we're just starting baseball, actually. So, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
We'll give him a minute to make an exit, and then we'll proceed.
All right, take care. Yeah, good to see you, too.
About human nature. Well, for those that have remained, we appreciate your energy, too. Thanks. Next item is the consent agenda. Certainly entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt the consent agenda as presented.
So moved. Or second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. We'll go to the regular agenda. Item one, Mr. Standish.
Discussion and possible action regarding resolution number R20-11, providing notice of intent to increase the potable water base rates, decrease the reclaimed water commodity rate, and decrease the reclaimed water groundwater preservation fee for the Oro Valley Water Utility.
Thank you, Mr. Standish. Mayor and Council, tonight I'm here just to present to you just that. It's a notice of intent to change the water rates. This is a part of a process that that we have to follow according to Arizona Revised Statutes, ARS 9-511.01. It provides us the rules that we have to follow to make an increase or a change to a base rate. Like I mentioned, it begins the formal process to change the water rate. An adoption of a notice of intent does not change or modify the rate. So tonight, a motion to do this doesn't change the rate. That comes later during as we go through the public involvement process. It also establishes the maximum amount the rates can be increased. It establishes a public hearing date for June 3rd, 2020, and it directs the town clerk to publish the resolution 20 days prior to the public hearing, and it makes the 2020 water rates analysis report available for public review. It will be placed in the clerk's office, the water utility's website, as well as the water utility lobby. So the schedule, one of the items has already been completed, and that was in February 3rd, 2020. The Water Utility Commission made a recommendation to move forward with the change in the water rates. And tonight I'm presenting the notice of intent to change water rates to the council. April 3rd, we publish a public hearing date on the town website. That's a 60-day notice. Again, that's per Arizona Revised Statutes. These notice dates give the public a chance to review and comment. On May 1st of 2020, we published a notice of intent in the newspaper, and that's a 20-day notice prior to our June 3rd town council meeting where we would hold a public hearing on the proposed changes. If it's approved on July 3rd, the new rates become effective 30 days after adoption, and the water utility would begin billing the new rates August 1st of 2020. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that the council may have.
I'd like to kind of follow the practice of receiving a motion and then having discussion on this item. Is that,
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I move to approve resolution number R20-11, providing notice of intent to increase the potable water base rates, decrease the reclaimed water commodity rate, and decrease the reclaimed water groundwater preservation fee for the Oro Valley Water Utility.
Second.
Okay, thank you. So we're open to discussion. Vice Mayor Barrett, and then Councilmember Rodman, and then Councilmember Jones-Ivey.
Okay, thanks. I was just wondering, Peter, and maybe this could also be a question for Councilmember Pena, but if we could just have a summary as to sort of the background reasons for why certain fees would be going up and other fees would be going down, et cetera. Just kind of a broad overview might be helpful.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Barrett. One of the things the water utility works hard to do is to do rate setting that's equitable to all user classifications. So, for example, with respect to the reclaimed rate, in prior years, we had allocated, you know, there's lots of different components that goes into the rate. In the prior years, we had allocated just a strict percentage based on volume of water delivered. For example, say we delivered 8,000 acre feet of water, that's total potable and reclaimed, but 2,000 acre feet of that was reclaimed. In prior years, we'd say, okay, let's allocate labor costs, you know, costs for you know, fuel and all those sorts of things, and 25% of it would be towards the reclaimed. One of the things we did last year, we realized, you know, that we probably need a little better resolution in setting the reclaimed rates. So we hired a we had budgeted last year, and this fiscal year we had hired a consultant, Westlake Resources, an engineering consulting firm, look at our methodologies and see what we could do to get better resolution, make sure we're being equitable to the potable customer as well as the reclaimed customer. One of the directions given to the consultant is we did not want a black box where a lot of data went in it and a computer model spit out a number. We wanted a methodology we could explain, we could show to people, we could explain to our commission and our council and our residents. And what they did is they looked at what we had and they said, you know, this is, it's a good starting point, but let's break it out more. Let's not just apply one percentage for all things. For example, personnel costs, vehicle costs, costs for equipment and chemicals. So what we did is we broke those things down. For example, labor costs. In last year, we would have said, okay, let's call it, 23% based on volume. Well, it turns out when we really dove down a little deeper, it's really 9.81%. So we broke things down just a little more, got a little more refinement, better resolution. And what came of that was we realized that we could reduce the reclaim commodity rate a little bit, as well as the groundwater preservation fee a little bit. So that's how that we ended up with a reclaimed rate reduction. And then on the potable side, here again, looking at, the service we provide, the things we have to do. We have inflation costs. We look at our interest income. We look at what's going to happen in the future. Now with the CAP, we have a drought contingency plan. As the CAP looks forward into maybe having less deliveries to those lower priority users, that they still have to pay the same debt service. So what would happen is for high priority users like municipalities, our costs would go up. So we look where we project to the future, and we see that our cost to provide that service, is going up a little bit. So that's kind of how we end up with a potable increase. But here again, just in closing, we looked at holistically the service we provide, and we tried to very much not have one user classification or user group subsidize another one. We really put a lot of effort into making sure that each user classification paid for what they used.
Okay, thank you. So then with these newer fees, you wouldn't say that the potable water is going to be subsidizing groundwater or groundwater preservation. You would just view it as being a more fair distribution?
That's correct. If you were to think about it, then since we are asking for a reclaimed commodity rate reduction, that would kind of be an indicator to me that probably in the past reclaimed customers might have been subsidizing the potable customer, and thus by reducing their rate, we're correcting that.
Okay, and then just one quick housekeeping sort of question. So since if we pass this notice of intent to raise rates, then it says that we can't raise the rates any higher than those rates are posted. But does that then mean that we don't have flexibility to set a lower rate or to fail to decrease the rates?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Barrett, that is not what that means. What it means is per Arizona Rise statute, the council cannot raise the rate any more than what's in our rate analysis. The council can do anything they want less than that. They could make it half, they could make it none, they could make it less. You just can't make it more.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Council Member Rodman.
Yes, noticing in the analysis, directing the town clerk to publish a resolution in newspaper general circulation, I know that's the normal way, but I would really encourage that we get as much communication to the residents of the town, to the users of the water, as we can in every opportunity. 20 days before a public hearing in a newspaper that doesn't have a very big circulation, because that's our only choice, is not it. And I'm sure you're intending to do that, but I really would emphasize that so folks know. As we know, this water is a subject that we're all interested in, and from all sorts of different directions. And when you say intent to increase the rates, even decrease rates, people should be interested, and they should be sure that they know that there's a public hearing and there's going to be opportunities to do that. So that's just my first comment. You don't need to answer it. I'm sure you're going to do it. And also, we and the residents will have plenty of opportunity to ask even more questions about how we got here, where we're going, and so what we're doing today is just setting up that process. We're not approving anything other than, to your point, that we can't increase it more than we put it in there. I assume, actually, if we decided we didn't want to do that and we needed more, we'd have to go and redo everything to set up another public hearing and another agenda item, et cetera. So it won't be any higher than what you're talking about without that happening, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy?
Yes. Peter, I was wondering if you could give an explanation as to why there's a recommendation to increase water rates when conservation has been very successful.
Sure, thank you, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Jones-Ivy. So, you know, this community has a very strong conservation ethic, and overall, because of conservation, the rate increase is less than what it would be otherwise. I know it seems like you could ask yourself the question, you know, I'm doing all this work, I'm saving water, yet you're making it more expensive. That hardly seems like a reward system. You know, and as a consumer myself, I asked myself the same question. It wasn't until I started digging deep into this, I realized overall, because of conservation, the customer's paying less than they would otherwise, because if the consumption was higher, we would have more infrastructure, more booster stations, more reservoirs, a higher power bill. And when you look at the numbers, and I've looked at a very high level, and what I realized, and I'm really happy to tell this story, is because of conservation, the water's costing you less than it would otherwise, because we'd have to build so much more infrastructure to be able to supply that volume of water to our customers. You know, I could look at it as, you know, say you went from having a 1980s Suburban with a Chevy 454 to a, you know, something, a Honda Civic. It gets better gas mileage, and you spend less for gas, but over time you still spend more for gas because the price of the commodity fuel goes up. I think that's along where you were. Is that, I think I answered your question. Like, we're doing all this conservation, like you ask us to, and then as a reward, you're raising rates on us. I'd rather not. That isn't how. That's. I used to look at it that way as well, but in reality, everybody's saving money. It's costing less than it would otherwise because of all the additional infrastructure we'd have to construct to provide that additional volume.
Okay. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
Did you? Okay. Councilmember Penny, I didn't see you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Previously, when Vice Mayor Barrett had asked either myself or Mr. Abraham to answer the question, I think I just want to clarify that's because I serve as the council liaison to the water utility. So, yeah. But in most cases, this would be the expertise of the water utility commissioners and also the water utility staff as well as our water utility director. I would like to thank the water utility staff along with our water utility commission, because water is a very complex, it's a very complex subject. It is an enterprise fund for the town, and so it does not receive any general fund monies. It sustains itself through fees, and Peter, you can jump in if I'm incorrect, with fees and other sources. To maintain it as a fund. So I just wanted to clarify that. So I want to thank the Water Utility Commission, because there is a lot of work and that goes into this analysis, and these are very, very competent, highly qualified individuals that take the time to do this analysis. And so for that, I would like to thank you. So, and I know we have some in the audience. My question, I know you're supposed to do an annual review of the rates, Peter, but does the water utility provide a rate report annually as part of our required statutes?
Mr. Mayor and Councilmember Pena, yes, per town code, the water utility performs a water rate analysis every year. And in that analysis, every year is a five-year pro forma.
Okay. And when I looked back on the five-year pro forma, because we do that every year, one of the things that I noticed was that the pro forma, the rates that are being asked in this particular request, they're actually lower than what they were the last couple of years. So can you comment as to why they've actually decreased?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Pena, excellent question. Thanks for asking that. This is a part of the story I wanted to tell, but didn't know how to segue into this. But just for example, in 2018, when we did our five-year pro forma, we were slated that. So right now we're asking for a dollar base rate increase for a 5/8-inch customer. In 2018, we were slated to ask for a $2.34 base rate increase. And this is one of the reasons why we do the rate analysis every year. Because a lot of the analysis is based on assumptions. Like I said, what is inflation? What is our interest income going to be? What are chemicals going to cost? What is the resource going to cost us? One of the things that's reduced our five-year pro forma from 2018 from $2.34 to a dollar today is we've had such good hydrology the last 2 years in the upper basin states that it's pushed off CAP having to raise the capital charge for priority users. We were looking at 15-20% capital charge increases, but because we've had the better hydrology, the potential for those increases has gone down. In fact, it's been pushed off to future years. And that's why we do the rate analysis every year, is we look, we see, hey, these proposed or projected costs, we're not going to realize those right now. So what happened is in 2018, when we did this, we had projected, hey, our costs are going to go up. We have to have this ascending rate trajectory. But then in subsequent years, we're seeing, hey, things are better than we thought they were going to be. Maybe we earned additional interest income. Maybe inflation wasn't what it was supposed to be or what we thought it was going to be. The resource isn't costing us as much as it was projected to cost. So that cost to our customers goes down. So I'm very pleased that, you know, in 2 years ago when I was looking at this, I was thinking, how am I going to sell it? $2 and $2.50 increase every year for the next 5 years, but that's what the performance showed. But things had improved such that isn't what we're going to have to ask for, and that's one of the reasons why we do this study every year, because our environment changes every year.
Okay, thank you. So it's possible that next year when you do this, we'll be reevaluating this particular fee structure. Even with
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Pena,
the changes.
You
correct.
Know, when I look at this year's or in the rate report, the five-year pro forma for next year, you know, this year we're asking for a dollar. For next year, we projected we're going to need to come to council for $1.06 increase. Mm-hmm. In contrast to 2 years ago, we thought we were going to have to come to council asking for a $2.33
right.
increase. I hope that with the improved hydrology, maybe we get the better interest income. Maybe inflation isn't as high as what we thought it was going to be. Efficiencies we're implementing within the utility. I would love to come here. Well, first of all, I'd love to come here and not ask for a rate increase at all. But I'd love to see it well below a dollar and keep our fingers crossed.
Sure.
Maybe we can do that. But we are seeing that the curve isn't as steep as what it was looking like.
In my opinion, this report is very comprehensive, and there's a lot of material to digest. The way that it appears to me in simplified form is that the cost for each of the different services are being you use the word equitably allocated. So I compliment the water utility in the sense of you are doing those reviews, which did allow for knowing exactly where the changes in cost should really be applied. And so I think that that's on a go-forward basis. It appears to me that that provides more accuracy in trying to help, whether it's increasing or decreasing our water rates, that the water utility, you're doing a good job of trying to define the accuracy of where the billing should occur with that, with those allocations. So that's what it appears to me in simple form with a very complex subject.
Thank you very much, Councilmember Vigneault.
Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Nicholson.
A couple questions. The reclaimed water commodity rate, looking to reduce that. Our golf, isn't that reclaimed water? Our golf course?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Nicholson, that's correct. All except the
push nine.
The nine hole is reclaimed water.
What percentage of the reclaimed water is for the golf courses? Is it like 5 or 10%, or is it?
No, 95%.
Oh, 95. So
I mean, it could be 92, but by far our greatest customer for reclaimed is turf irrigation.
Our own golf course. So the one issue that I have is that we're reducing basically the tax burden from the town and then putting it to the citizens, because we're going to increase the potable, which is basically the 5/8 meter is basically my house and everyone's house in here. And then, you know, the reclaimed water, that's just 92-95% of that rate cut or interest or tax cut is going to be for the town. And I know that, you know, the town pays for their water fees no matter what. So either way, it's tax neutral, really. But the appearance of that.
And Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Nicholson, and it isn't just, I mean, the town has two reclaimed courses, so it's 36 holes. But there's Stone Canyon, Sun City. We have some school athletic fields. You know, but there are other reclaimed users.
So it's not, we're not 92-95% of reclaimed waters to our golf courses. Our golf courses use 92-95%.
I apologize. Okay. If I might have misunderstood the question. Okay, when it comes to how much of the reclaimed water does the town use?
That's what it was asking.
I apologize. Okay, that's not 90-95%. No.
Okay.
Now, don't fact check me on this. This is, you know, off the cuff, but I would say more along the lines of 30%, 30 to 40%.
That's a lot.
40% tops.
Councilmember Solomon.
All right. Well, first off, this is not a tax. The water utility is charged with providing water to all the customers and users in Oro Valley. And by statute, since it's an enterprise fund, they have to basically, through their fees, collect the amount necessary to provide the water to all the customers. So this is not a random, hey, let's increase potable water meter fees and decrease reclaimed water fees. This is based on the analysis of the actual costs to more equitably divide the cost of the actual delivery of water to the different users. So let's not characterize this as a tax, which is not, nor as some random, we're going to decrease a rate that happens to benefit the town. A lot of people have accused the town over the years of having excessively high reclaimed water rates by the way they were calculated. And that's been a major complaint from a lot of the users. And all this does is show that those complaints did indeed have some validity to it. The cost allocation was actually all these years reclaimed water has been subsidizing potable water users. So all this does is adjust it to where it's equitable. That is the way it should be. So, thank you.
I don't see any additional discussion. Okay, Vice Mayor Barrett.
Okay, thanks. Just following up on Councilmember Robbins' point about how we publish this out, is there any need for us to add any kind of amendment to the newspaper thing to say, you know, that it will also be published on the town's website, on the town's social media, et cetera? Or is that kind of understood after what Councilmember Robbins communicated?
Well, the messaging I heard was do everything you can to get the message out there. So, I mean, of course, I'll be working with the town manager and our communications and public information officer staff. I'm sure we'll go above and beyond.
Okay.
Thank you. Mayor, Vice Mayor Barrett, it's not necessary for you to amend the motion. We've heard you and we'll be glad to take care of that.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to thank the Water Utility Commission, the Water Department staff. The rate report is excellent. I think once our community has an opportunity to review the report, that there'll be greater clarity as to why the base rate is increasing and the other rates decreasing. The notice, is that notice, will that be, is that the Arizona territorial?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, that's correct.
Okay. I don't know what the frequency is, but I think the most recent was our public transportation. Is it Michael had an article in the Explorer that was kind of giving an overview of our public transportation program. Will there be that opportunity for Peter to speak to this particular topic in a similar type article?
Mr. Mayor, we'll be happy to seek the what we can do with our own. You know, we have a monthly article, and I don't know what we've planned for the next few months, but I'll work with Missy Nowak, and we'll see what we can do to get some appropriate coverage of it.
Yeah, okay, excellent. So we have a motion seconded, discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. We'll go to regular agenda item 2.
2A, resolution number R20-12, declaring the proposed Rancho Vistoso PAD text amendment a public record.
I believe what's needed for this is a motion to either approve or deny for item A. Is that?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. Yes, to make it a public record.
I move to approve resolution number R20-12, declaring the proposed Rancho Vistoso PAD text amendment a public record.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We'll go to item B.
2B, public hearing, ordinance number O20-02, Rancho Vistoso PAD text amendment to convert a required open space area to a constructed landscape buffer yard, and item 2C, conceptual landscape plan for the open space area.
Okay.
Oh, we're seeing it.
Actually, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening. My name is Hannah Oden, and I'm a senior planner with the town of Oro Valley. The purpose of this case is to discuss a request to amend the Rancho Vistoso planned area development. The proposed amendment involves two items, which have been detailed in the staff report. The first item, which is item B, is a proposed text amendment to the Rancho Vistoso planned area development to change requirements for a specific area. The second item, which is item C, is a proposed conceptual landscape plan that would improve visibility into the Rancho Vistoso Center from Oracle Road, address existing drainage and erosion issues, and would address an outstanding zoning violation. At a regular session on February 4th, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the proposed text amendment and conditional approval of the conceptual landscape plan, subject to the conditions included in Attachment 3 of the meeting packet. The case is presented tonight for discussion and possible action. As a reminder to Council, there will be two motions for tonight. One is for the proposed text amendment, and one is for the proposed conceptual landscape plan. So just to orient ourselves, the subject property is outlined in yellow. It is on the northwest corner of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard, which is to the south, and Oracle Road, which is to the east. It is part of the Rancho Vistoso Rancho Vistoso Center, which is a commercial shopping area. Catalina State Park is across Oracle Road to the east, and there's a gas station. Speedway gas station is located to the south. The subject parcel is approximately 1.63 acres. And it is within the Rancho Vistoso planned area development. Within the Rancho Vistoso Center, I know there's a Gaslight Theater as well as Walgreens. And I do want to point out there is a 30-foot utility easement on the eastern portion of the subject property. So the Rancho Vistoso planned area development currently requires a 100-foot natural area setback along Oracle Road, on the Oracle Road right-of-way. The applicant's request was triggered by a zoning violation when a number of trees were removed from the open space area. Again, the request involves two items. The first is a text amendment to the Rancho Vistoso PAD, or Planned Area Development, to convert an open space area into a constructed landscape buffer yard. And this would be similar to what you may see in other commercial shopping centers in Oro Valley along major arterial roads, including Oracle Road. And it would be compliant with the Oro Valley Zoning Code. The second item is a conceptual landscape plan for that proposed buffer yard. The intent is to increase visibility into the shopping center from Oracle Road using native low water use plants. The applicant is proposing water harvesting basins and additional improvements for erosion control and drainage mitigation, which currently exist on site. And the conceptual landscape plan is what the applicant would be held to should it be approved. And it does comply with the Oro Valley Zoning Code, and it does address the outstanding zoning violation by mitigating for those removed trees. So this slide represents the existing zoning on the property. So the applicant is not requesting a zoning change or a reduction in the amount of open space. Rather, the request is for a change in the type of open space. So again, the subject parcel is outlined here in yellow. You can see it is zoned as open space. So the Rancho Vistoso PAD does currently require an undisturbed 100-foot natural setback from the right-of-way line of Oracle Road. And the intent of that is to preserve views and the natural feeling along that scenic corridor. So the applicant is proposing a text amendment to the PAD, which would allow for this open space area to be disturbed and revegetated as a constructed landscape buffer yard. And the proposed text amendment is written in a way that it would only apply to this specific area. So you can see in red that is zoned commercial C1 within the Rancho Vistoso PAD. And so the text amendment would just apply to neighborhood 2, which is the area north of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard in the commercial area. So currently on site, it is a vacant site. It is disconnected from other open space by existing roads and development. So compared to other open space that you might see in Oro Valley, there is a low habitat and environmental resource value. It also has been previously disturbed. Again, I mentioned the utility easement. So there's been existing disturbance on the property. And there's also some erosion issues that I mentioned due to drainage on the site. So this slide shows the proposed conceptual landscape plan, which is overlaid on the subject property. So everything that's outlined in yellow, that's where most of the proposed disturbance and grading is going to be happening. So the applicant is proposing grading in this general area for 2 water harvesting basins and additional improvements for erosion and drainage control. The northern part of the subject property will remain undisturbed. However, plants will be that are salvaged from the southern portion of the site will be transplanted to the northern portion of the site. There would also be some disturbance for irrigation and clearing out debris and any dead plant material. The applicant is also mentioned that 30-foot utility easement, which is right here along the eastern portion of the site. The applicant is proposing to hydroseed that area. It does need to remain accessible for utilities. So there was one neighborhood meeting that was held on August 21st, 2019. So the questions included mitigation for the previously removed trees, how those were being mitigated, the type of landscaping and vegetation that would be used, how the proposal would address drainage issues, as well as protecting the integrity of the monument wall, which is at this for the Rancho Vistoso PAD, which is at the southern portion of the site. So the applicant did explain that the removed trees would be mitigated for in a 2-to-1 ratio, which is compliant with the zoning code. The type of landscaping, again, would be native low water use plants that would be compliant with the Oro Valley zoning code. The applicant also explained how the proposal would address those drainage issues through the use of water harvesting basins and the addition of riprap at the southern portion of the site. and also how those improvements would help protect the integrity of the monument wall by mitigating for erosion. So with any planned area development amendment proposal, we do review it for conformance with the vision and guiding principles and goals and policies of the general plan, as well as zoning code standards. We also take into account neighbor concerns and how those are addressed in the proposal. So staff has found that the applicant's proposal is consistent with the Your Voice, Our Future general plan, as it supports the local economy, manages stormwater impacts, maintains a scenic corridor by transplanting viable native vegetation, and mitigating anything that is removed with native and low water use plants. It is also compliant with the town zoning code and does comply with the landscaping standards and standards with the Oracle Road Scenic Corridor Overlay District in the town zoning code. So in summary, staff has found that the proposal is consistent with the Your Voice, Our Future general plan and zoning code. And the Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend approval of item B and conditional approval of item C, subject to the conditions in attachment 3. And those conditions were minor items that need to be addressed on the conceptual landscape plan. So this concludes my presentation, and the applicant is also here tonight to present additional details about the proposal. Thank you.
All right, so if you'd like to make your presentation.
Good evening. My name is Chris Laria. I am a landscape designer and planner for the Planning Center. I am joined tonight by my colleague Brian Underwood from the Planning Center, as well as the property owners Scott Douglas and Phil Skillings. We are here tonight for our requested pad text amendment and conceptual landscape plan. Are they still working on the thing over there? Yes. I have a bunch of stuff. A lot of our stuff will actually cover what Ms. Oden covered as well. So we do go through the zoning and the general plan as well. As well as I do have a lot more detail as far as the landscape plan.
Technology.
Yes, sir.
It's our friend or our foe?
Mr. Mayor, may I request a brief 5-minute recess
sure.
while we get all this worked
yeah,
out?
You bet.
Thank you,
sir. Let's do that. 5-minute recess.
Thank you.
The box is gone, Steve.
Hey, we'll call the meeting to order. You can return to the rostrum?
Yes, sir.
Carry on.
All right, thank you. So, Ms. Oden did a fantastic job with introducing our project and where it is, its location within the town, the northwest corner of Rancho Vistoso, Center Boulevard, and Oracle Road. Project extends again. I'm just going to kind of go through some of these pretty quick here. Our general plan compliance, a lot of the very same things that Ms. Oden brought up. Our zoning map and how we are not asking for any kind of changes to the zoning, just a text amendment to allow for the landscaping in there. She also covered a lot of this as well. These were our goals and objectives and the evolution and outreach of our project. On to the actual landscape plan. For us, we had hoped to do a lot more water harvesting throughout this project, but the site itself kind of limits where we can bring water into the project. We had originally hoped to pull water off the parking lot, but it's just not possible. So this is the layout that we wound up with the two different water harvesting basins and the main collection point here. So this one will be just general rainfall, and we will collect as much as we can from the parking lot and then the off-site coming from underneath Oracle Road, as well as the preservation area. And from this aerial, you can see that there is not only the the easement, the utility easement, but also a lot of area where we hope to revegetate and fill it out. Once again, a close-up, a side-by-side comparison of the open areas that we will be filling in with our new plants and trees, the top half of our basin, and then the bottom half where the full extent of the work will be taking place, as well as providing angular views into the site here. Something that we are definitely taking advantage of here is safe by design and limiting the amount of trees and creating a very large hedge adjacent to the bank drive-through. We wanted to keep everything as low as possible so there was clear visibility and no chance of people hiding and staying right there. We do have some sections that show the two different areas. This top section is the northernmost area. It's the preservation area. You can see the grade difference between Oracle Road. There is an existing retaining wall that was established when Oracle Road was widened. And then this is about the height of our PAL. So we have about 6.5 feet of grade change that goes up before you get to Oracle Road. The southern section here, this is where most of our views are going to be taking place, as well as all of our basins. So this is a lot of why we chose to preserve this area as well. You're not going to get any views. Let's make this into a nice preservation area. The before and after, this is our photo simulation, what we hope to achieve, cleaning up the front area, removing all of the existing invasive species that are there. There is some a little bit of buffel grass. There is also some desert broom that is starting to take hold in that area, so we do hope to remove all of that, as well as spruce it up with a heavy pallet of wildflowers that should be able to take root with the seasons. And then continued work. This is something that I think Ms. Oden did not cover. With your approval of our conceptual landscape plan and the pad text amendment, we do have some work that we have to go through. We have final landscape plans that need to be submitted to staff. We will also be revisiting with the Rancho Vistoso Homeowners Association so they can see the final product prior to submitting. And with our construction process, we do believe that the estimated cost of construction will exceed what is the current zoning violation. The amount of work and the grading and the drainage issues that we will be rectifying, as well as all of the transplanting and preservation of trees, we do believe it will exceed the $80,000 zoning violation. And then as afterwards, we also hope to submit an application for new signage as well. The existing signage is very small. We would hope to increase a little bit more visibility to the existing businesses that are in there by providing nice new signage and monumentation at the entrances that are off of Oracle Road, and I believe the other one is going to be off of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard. So that point, I would like to open it up.
Okay, so before we go to questions, I appreciate that. There is a public hearing associated with this item, so I'd like to open the public hearing at this time. I don't have any blue cards. Is there anybody wishing to speak to this agenda item? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. Council, there's two motions related. One is the text amendment motion, and then the other is the conceptual landscape plans. Two separate motions, but they are tied together. So I'd like to entertain the motion.
Mr. Mayor?
Yep.
I move to adopt ordinance number 020-02, the Rancho Vistoso PAD text amendment to permit construction of a landscaped buffer yard within the open space area, based on the finding that the application is in conformance with the Your Voice, Our Future general plan and zoning code.
I'll second.
Okay, so the discussion would be specifically on the text amendment of this. Any discussion? Vice Mayor Barrett?
I have a question.
I just appreciated the clarification that Ms. Odom provided, that this text amendment will apply only to this property and won't apply to the greater Rancho Vistoso in general. And so I just wanted to make that point, and I appreciate that was in their presentation.
So. Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. So I'd like to entertain the item C motion. Someone like to? Okay.
I move to approve item C, the conceptual landscape plan, subject to the conditions in attachment 3, based on the findings that the application is in conformance with all zoning code requirements.
Second.
Okay, discussion? Vice Mayor Barrett?
Okay, I just, I am really in favor of this in terms of helping our businesses to be able to have visibility and things like that that are important. I did want to comment that, you know, in an ideal world, this isn't how we want things done, with the trees cut down first and then going through the zoning code process. And so hopefully in future we can you know, go through that process first. That would be ideal. And but I do trust that what is going in with the landscape plan will look nice and will be nice for the community. I did want to ask just a quick clarification. On your proposal, the Planning Center's documents, you show that this monument area is not included. And I just want to make sure that that's the case, because in the packets, there's a few places where it is highlighted and some places where it's not highlighted. So I just want to make sure, for the sake of our HOA, that it's clear that that's not being included in the proposal.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Barrett, yes, ma'am, that is true. The actual Rancho Vistoso monument is not part of our plan changes at all. We are providing a little bit of additional shrubbery behind the wall itself, something, stuff that will grow tall and above so you can't actually see it from the intersection.
Okay, thanks. I also I'm in support of this because this open space doesn't have strong environmental connections to other open space. It does seem like it's mostly there to be an attractive sort of natural buffer. And so I think it makes sense to have it as kind of an attractive landscaped buffer so that we can increase visibility to the center and still have it look really nice and take care of those erosion issues. So thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Councilmember Pena.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I support this particular project. It's been vetted extensively because the Planning and Zoning Commission and our staff approved it, as well as the public that had the opportunity to weigh in on it. There was no issues with that. And the other thing that I think is really important is any time that we can support business continuing in Oral Valley, I think you've made great strides to try and do that. As far as the property owner and what happened with a violation, I think that things do occur, not with malintent a lot of times, but they do. And the fact that it's being mitigated and mitigating where you are probably paying more to mitigate it, I commend you for that as a stakeholder in our community doing business. And then lastly, the fact that it meets the Your Voice, Our Future general plan, and along with our zoning codes, I think that speaks for the credibility of the project. And so I appreciate that, and thank you for wanting to improve business in Oral Valley.
Councilmember Rodman.
Yeah, without going at all, and I'm not asking for background on this, but to tag on to what's already been said, I think that as ever we can to let the public, and in particular the business community, know that we will, as a town, be receptive to trying to fix problems that inadvertently happened. It sounds like that's here. The owners and the businesses wanted more visibility. Maybe they were or did not think they would get a good reception. I don't know the answer to that question. If they went in and said, is there a way we can work it out, town? I know we have, this is the PAD. Maybe they did. Maybe they got a wrong answer. I don't know the answer to that. But I think it's part of what we've talked about now for some years. How do we continue to improve our reputation in the business community and people who want to stay here or come here? And this is that kind of a thing. If our business folks, Dave Perry, if our business folks know that, you know, come on in and talk and let's see if it makes sense, we'll try to find a way to make it work. And that's what you guys did here. I know it cost you money, and I know that there was a pending violation that was going to cost money that helped to bring everybody to the table. But boy, as was said earlier, if we can find a way that that request comes from the property owner, the business owner, to our staff, and our staff knows that at least our intention is to try to find reasonable ways to deal with these things, then maybe we don't go all the way here. Our staff still might have to say, I don't see it. I'm sorry, we can't. But if there is a process, and there is, because we just went through it, you know, to get what you need, which is visibility as well as meeting the intent of the PAD. So I just think anytime we have an opportunity to say to the business community, we're here and let's try to figure out a good way to do this without costing you a whole lot of money and getting what we need as a town. So thank you.
I had a couple of questions, and this is directed to the planning center. There's a headlight screen wall that's shown. Is that a requirement because of our zoning code, or is that a feature that you've added because you want to have that wall there?
Mr. Mayor, that is a requirement of the zoning code. So the headlight screen wall, we have to provide a pony wall that is, I believe, 3.5 feet tall, 40 inches, 42 inches, to prevent any kind of light pollution onto the road.
Okay, thank you. And then the landscape planting design is, again, reflection of zoning code in terms of number of trees and so forth.
Yes, sir, for the most part, it is a reflection of, as far as the number of trees, absolutely, it is a reflection of the zoning code design and whatnot is not. That was us.
So I have a mild concern that we're not going to reach our objective in terms of making the commercial areas as visible as, not that it has to be completely cleared of vegetation, but that was a mild concern. But if it's following our zoning code, then I compliment you for working with that and opening it up as much as possible to be viewed by the public that will be traveling past this commercial development. Any other questions? Okay, Vice Mayor Barrett.
Just following up on the mayor's question, I was wondering if we could ask staff, is it going to be visible enough, and is there any more that we could do to increase visibility if that isn't going to be the case?
If I may, Mayor, Member Barrett, as far as whether it's visible enough, I certainly leave that to the applicant's judgment. In terms of what we can do if they wish to increase visibility, there's certainly a lot of latitude in terms of the way vegetation is grouped. So, they still, even beyond this approval, they can work with staff further if they choose to create what they've titled view slices. So, there does not have to be a continuous row of trees. You can actually clump the trees in ways, not too close, of course, but you can, position them in a way to try to maximize visibility. So they had that option, and they still have that option, because their next step is to submit a final landscape plan. So I hope that answers the question.
Okay, thank you.
Any more discussion?
No.
Okay. The motion is to approve item C, the conceptual landscape plan, subject to the conditions in attachment 3, based on the findings that the application is in conformance with all zoning code requirements. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Any future agenda items? Hearing none. No, we have no blue cards for call to the audience. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved.
Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.